guys, I'm Carissa, and I'm so glad that you're here today. Before the service begins, we want to give you a chance to see what's happening around Warsaw Community Church. Think of this as a quick way to get connected and feel at home. So before we get rolling, let me introduce what you're watching. This is The Loop. It's our weekly pre-service video designed to keep you connected, inspired, and informed about everything happening here at WCC. Each week, you'll hear about upcoming events, ways to get involved, and stories that remind us of what God is doing in our community. Hey, if you're new, we are so glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. We'd love for you to stop by and say hi and connect with us. You can do that after the service by heading to the New Here kiosk in the lobby, where somebody would love to meet you, say hi, get to know you a little bit better, and we'd love for you to take a moment and fill out the connection card. We also have a little gift that we would like to give you as a tangible way to say thank you for coming today. We have a great lineup today to help you discover more about who we are and how you can get connected. Speaking of that, let's start with an easy next step.
Hi everyone, I'm Nate Mettler, Pastor of Discipleship here at WCC. One of my favorite things about our church is how people grow when they connect with others. Growth groups are one of the best ways to build real community and take steps in your faith. Whether you're new or you've been here a long time, there's a place for you. To learn more, here's a quick video about what growth groups can mean for your year.
Hi, my name is John Robertson.
Hi, I'm Laura Robertson, and our family has three kids. We have Drew, who's in high school, Lucas, who's in middle school, and then Elsie, who's in lower elementary school.
Life is a busy time for us with three kids in three different schools, and just the evenings especially can get busy, and it's important that Laura and I each week sit down and, you know, just seeing what we have every night of the week, as far as whether it be a sporting event, taking the kids somewhere. Some weeks, since we are so busy, sometimes it's like it's a struggle maybe to go to a growth group, but I'm so blessed each week that we go, and just the stories that we hear and just the different points of view we get from different members of the group, and just how they saw something different than what I saw, and how that could be a definitely growth point for me in my relationship with Jesus.
In this season of life, where it is full and it is busy, we have continued to say, for our kids to see that we think that this is important, that we value these relationships, that we value growing deeper in our faith with this community of people, it's been really important for us to, yeah, give away some valuable time every week. But we hope that that's modeling that for our kids. Time and time again, when we show up and go, even if it's not the full group there, we always leave being filled because we've had good community. We've had conversation. We're not staying inward focused. We're getting outward focused. There have been times when I have gone in with a bad attitude and I don't really want to be here. And no doubt God will bring something that it's like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Or I know I was here because we were supposed to pour out into this person.
We all have all struggled at times, especially us. A few years ago, we had a house fire, and that was just, our growth group definitely came around us at that time, loved on us. And we've done the same for others in our group when they've struggled or been through, you know, hard times too. WCC's mission is growing deeper in our relationship with Jesus, and that's exactly what these growth groups do.
There are groups that have all sorts of dynamics, and all of them are experiencing community and growth. And so even though we're in a unique season of life with our family and where we're at, I know that growth groups are really growing people no matter their stage of life, no matter their season of life. And it is a place where it doesn't matter if you're married, single, have a family, this is a place where everyone can come and you can choose to give and you can choose to receive and really experience growth like God intended us to.
One One of our favorite celebrations we share as a church is baptism. It's such a meaningful step of faith and a powerful moment to celebrate with your church family. As you watch these moments, let them remind you of the hope and new life we have in Jesus. And if baptism is something you've been thinking about, we provide that opportunity several times each year.
We had such an incredible Christmas season here at WCC, and we wanted to relive a few moments together. Enjoy some of our favorite photos from the services. Thanks so much for joining us for The Loop today. We hope that you feel seen, known, loved, and encouraged. Grab your seat, we're about to start worship.
You made it. Yeah, you did. Well done. You know, thinking about this series and the Holy Spirit, it's certainly one of those areas in my own life I have struggled at times, often in fact, with knowing when he's speaking and when it's just me. Maybe you guys can relate. I assume that you can. And so this series, we've really tried to look at the role of the Holy Spirit and then what role he plays in our lives. And I want to just take another step in that direction and start with, at least, looking at how he has made each one of us. So much of the Holy Spirit's work is in our own hearts. That's where the battle is for us. Our battle to surrender to him, to yield to his leading, his guiding, to be like Jesus when he says, not my will, but yours. As he went and then faced the crucifixion. And so that's what we're thinking about. And there's also this thing in Christ's surrender there to the will of the Father, that as he went to the cross, what did he accomplish for us? You know, in a very real way, very practical way, we've been given the Holy Spirit not just for us, but what it accomplishes for others. So if we think about the Spirit and what he brings, he first of all brings regeneration. He takes dead things and makes them alive. Death to life. That's the work of the Spirit. He then talks, and we look in Scripture, we find that he also then doesn't just come upon us like he did in the Old Testament. He actually indwells us. Scripture says we're like the temple then, where the Spirit resides. He's there. And yes, we don't always hear him. We don't always listen when we do hear him, but he is there. And he speaks in a still, small voice. He also is involved with sealing us. What's that mean? Scripture describes that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of your salvation. And you're given him when you believe, and you are sealed, you are secure. God has given a guarantee that you will experience eternal life with him. That's part of his work. That's part of the work of the Spirit. He leads us into truth. When we're reading Scripture, when we're studying, he is a teacher. He enlightens us to what God is intending for us. As we read his word, as we study his word, as we hear his word, he's the one that does that work. We also see that he brings conviction. Conviction of sin. It's not just directional, it's preventing us, hindering us from maybe an area that we naturally head to. And he brings that conviction, he brings an understanding. And we turn then in repentance and look to him as we follow him. He's an intercessor. Have you ever not had the words to pray? You know, I pray, it's odd, because when I'm by myself, I pray aloud. And when we're all here together, I pray aloud. If I'm in a small group, I'll pray aloud. But there are times when I don't, and it's usually because I don't even have the words. I can think of a lot of situations, circumstances, that my understanding was so minuscule, I didn't have any clue really what was happening. I was asking questions, and I'd ask him, and then after I asked those questions of him, why and how and why now and why not that, and once I got through my questions, I didn't even know what to pray. And the Holy Spirit knows that, and he's actually interceding on my behalf. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. That's one of his roles. He's taking those things that I can't even understand, or I'm trying to grasp, but I don't have words for. He's actually praying for me. He's going to the Father. And when he prays, he's praying within the will of the Father, beyond what I even know or understand. That's one of his roles. He produces fruit. There's a result of following the Holy Spirit. He produces in us things like love, and joy, and peace, gentleness, and goodness. And we're going to look at that a little more specifically here in a minute. But those are the things that he produces. He also produces freedom. Freedom from what? Sin and death. Freedom for what? To live a surrendered life. To joy and experience him and having gentleness and goodness as a part of our lives. And the impact that would have on the people around us. If in our lives we're producing the fruit of the Spirit because we're surrendered to him, it will change this church. It'll change this community. It'll change the world. So I wanted to just kind of put an end cap on that. I want us to go ahead and look at a spiritual gifts chart. So as you look at that, you can see a couple of things, that there's a whole list. And you go to Romans 10, You'd see a whole list of the gifts. We could go to Ephesians, where it says, each one of God's children doing their specific work. Ephesians 4, describing a healthy church. Each one of us doing the thing that God has gifted us to do, and the benefit of that is for everybody. We're fitted together in this body called WCC. And when we're all surrendered and we're all allowing that fruit to actually be manifest in our lives, and that's how we're living and we're experiencing Him in that way, we're following Him. He leads us to unity. Always. He leads us to purpose. He leads us to love. Loving Him and each other. That's what He's doing. So if you looked at that, you could connect a few things. But that's some of the things. And if you've never done a spiritual gift assessment, just know this, it's an assessment. That you can go online and you can look at this. You can go to the website, just type in spiritual gifts. Maybe put assessment in there, I don't know. I tried it, I could do it, you can do it. Just do it, go to this search. Don't try to look, just search. And you can take that online. And then you can look at the other page and kind of see maybe where you'd best fit. But God has given each one of us a gift. And that's just not for us. The Spirit isn't just for us. It's for others. But then there's this whole area, what about outside the church? You ever been in a conversation and you want to share your faith? You want to share what Christ has done for you? Or maybe you've known someone quite a while, but you've never really had a spiritual conversation. I mean, you've talked about everything else, all the politics that you can stomach, life and kids and how you're doing and how your kids and then how are your grandkids now, and those are some of our conversations, and talk about just about anything else. But when it comes to having a spiritual conversation, you don't even know how to start. If we're following the Spirit and hearing His leading, He will lead us into those types of conversations. He knows how when we don't. He can give us the words when we don't have the words. And so as we think of that, go to the website. You can do that. And then we'd love to have a conversation with you, because those gifts were given for the benefit of all of us, not just you. Just like the Holy Spirit is a gift that indwells us. And that's not just for me, that's for everyone else. So I wanted to start this second part, and you're going to need your Bibles for this. So go ahead and pull them out, pull out your phone, whatever you need to do. You're definitely going to want to have your Bible this morning. I'm just going to read this, and then we'll be in Galatians chapter 5. It's Acts 1:8. You know, we had Drew and Mal, and they've got three beautiful kids, and I've known Drew his whole life, actually. And that just shows me how big God is. That's a joke. Come on, guys, that God could even change that snot-nosed little kid that used to help me out at Scott and Julie's, who are some of our oldest and dearest friends, and I was helping them out with some remodeling stuff, and Drew wanted to help. Oh, heavens. I mean, I owe you like 18 spankings. No, the rule was if he did what I told him, he could stay and help me. And that's how much he wanted to help, and he actually listened, which is unbelievable. But God's done amazing things in their lives, bringing them together and then leading them to Chad. And now we don't know, and what God is doing in their lives, that's the Spirit's leading. Leading them to understanding the call on their life, how to use their gifts, how to surrender those gifts to Him for His purposes. That's what He's wanting to do. So Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's what they're doing. And guess what we should be doing? taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, taking the gospel to the people we know, loving them enough to share Christ, who is our everything, with them, willing to forgo some things that we might like for the sake of having a ministry of love and care for someone, knowing how valuable they are to God. And what he wants to do is redeem them and save them. He wants to give them eternal life. He wants them to experience forgiveness of sin. And he wants them to experience freedom. He wants them to experience freedom. But I want to focus on the first part where it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What kind of power is that? You know, I'm thinking about that question. I think about, well, I know it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That sounds pretty powerful. So if I'm connecting that, maybe you're thinking of other places where we see what kind of power to heal, to speak truth, to love beyond our own capacity to love, the power, what kind of power? It is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. That's the power that we have, because when we placed our faith in Christ, we were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's his power now in our lives. And to speak life into dead things. In your walk with him, in my relationship with Christ, in your relationship with Christ, and we have these struggles, we have these difficulties, there is power. There is freedom. That's what the Spirit brings. He brings freedom. Freedom from what? Sin and death. Think about that. The freedom from sin and death, from wickedness. How about the power over Satan? That's the power of the Spirit, and that's indwelling us. That's in us. We have access to that kind of power. We don't have that kind of power, but the Spirit of God indwelling us does. Think about that for a minute. Freedom from those things, but then freedom for what things? Well, we will read in a little bit the fruit of the Spirit, what he produces: love, joy, goodness, gentleness, patience. But what else? Free to pursue him. The Spirit's power to actually work in our hearts that we would love him more and love each other more. We'd love the people around us more. That's the kind of power that we're talking about. The kind of power that gives us an ability to endure hardness and difficulties without our faith wavering. We all know people that you just look at them and you can't imagine yourself going through what they're going through, the tragedy that's hit them, and somehow, some way, they seem to have a supernatural ability to continue to follow God during the hardest times in their life. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he is wanting to give us. So relying on the Spirit's power. Relying on him. That's the way we'll have a victorious Christian life. Haven't heard that term for quite a while. Thought about different ways of trying to describe that. But it's victory over the things that continue to trip us up. You got any of those? Hebrews talks about them. This area in my life that I keep surrendering to, and then I confess it, You ever been mad at somebody and you know that is not the Spirit of God, that you're wanting to hurt them physically, other ways? That's not the Spirit of God, and the Spirit convicts you, and you know that's sinful. That's not God-like. That isn't what Jesus would do. That's not what Jesus would have me to do. And while I'm confessing that to him, agreeing with him that that's sinful and wrong, that's my flesh, I get mad again because I remember what they did. Does that ever happen to anyone else here? Good. I don't feel quite as alone. As I'm confessing it, knowing it's sin, and I think about it, I get mad all over again. Well, guess what? The Spirit then has to convict me again. And I have to confess it again. Not for my salvation, but for my right relationship, for my heart. Freedom from that sin that just pulls us down and drags us down, and freedom for this life that's an amazing life. So, Galatians 5. I hope you're all there by now. Or did I even mention we're in Galatians 5, and we're just going to take some verses. We're going to read them, and hopefully from those verses we'll build a framework of what it is like to walk with the Lord, the different ways we describe it, a surrendered life, a yielded life, when where God is doing the work in us and through us, through the power of his Spirit. So Galatians 5, 16, and the title is Living by the Spirit's Power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. We could probably stop there. Read it to yourself. Think about what that's saying. See if that rings true to you. Does it sound like what you've been taught? That where the victory is found? That's not how I was taught to walk with the Lord. It was a whole bunch of lists of things that I was supposed to do. Or an even longer list of things that I was not supposed to do. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. See, the framework we're talking about is reframing the discussion and building it around the sin nature versus sins. Most of us as Christians, we've been taught to deal with sin and try to sin management, trying to stop a certain sin or avoiding certain situations that might lead me into sin. That's wisdom. But don't mistake wisdom in avoiding situations where you might be in a compromising situation with the power of the Spirit living in your life and giving you victory. And the victory isn't over just that sin. It's in surrendering to the Holy Spirit. To surrendering to Christ. Let's continue. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what that sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting with each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law. You're not under the obligation of sin management and avoiding things and doing certain things. That's the victorious Christian life. That's the underneath what the Spirit and why he gave the Spirit to us so that we don't have to be overtaken by our, what, sinful natures. You know, as a church, we've gone back to Genesis several times. You're thinking, man, when are we going to move forward? Well, we're moving forward today. But that happened in the garden. when Adam and Eve sinned, and then every person except for one was born of a father, an earthly father, and through that father we received a gift that never should be given, and it's called the sin nature. That's that voice we represent an angel, and that's the battle inside of us. It's not up on our shoulders, it's not outside, and we're trying to listen to which one. The nature that we are born with, the nature that we've born with and then lived our lives with, it desires selfishness and things that make it feel good. And often doesn't care what it costs anybody else. It's evil, it's wicked, it's selfish. It leads to death, death of relationships. It ruins his marriages. That's what it produces. That's all it has. And we think, well, that person over there, I'm not even sure they know Christ, but they seem to be a pretty good person. Well, describing the sinful nature doesn't mean we do every evil thing. It just means that we're as bad off as we can be. That's what depravity, that sinful nature in us that's warring, fighting, that's the fight you feel. And yes, there are external things that stir it up. You ever sitting there late at night watching TV and you see a commercial for something that would taste good? And you get up and do what? I just go into my kitchen and I pray. That's what I do. What do you do? What were you thinking I was going to say? That's what I do. That's what you should, right? You see that? So there's outside influences. But the battle's in my heart. And it's with my humanity, my sinful nature, its desires. And that is at war with the Spirit of God. It takes place right here. Paul describes this in Romans. At the end of Romans 7, you can almost hear the exasperation in the written word. He's crying out in a sense to God and just sharing his heart. He says, the things that I want to do, the good things that I want to do, I don't do them. I genuinely want to do them, but I don't do them. And the things I know are wrong and I don't want to do, I do. And then he says this, who can deliver me from the body of death? What's the body talking about? The body of death. That's our humanity. Paul's wanting to be relieved from that. Someday we will when we're in God's presence. But until then, that's the war. That's what we're fighting against. It's our own hearts. And that Spirit of God who has the power is there. And then we have our humanity, our sinful natures at war. So how do we win in this war? Let's continue reading and find out the results and what happens when we lose it. What I mean by lose is we don't surrender to the Spirit of God. We do what we want to do. It says this in verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. It gives a whole list of sins. But before it gave that list, what did it say? And even how that verse started in verse 19, what's it say? Go ahead and take a look. What's it say? Where's the failure? Was it in doing that sin? What's it say? Let me read it to you. When you follow the desires of what? Your sinful nature. That's when the battle is lost. Instead of surrendering or yielding to the Spirit of God and his leading, we follow our humanity. And I could go on about that and what happens to us without the surrender to the Spirit of God. Let's continue as the worship team comes out. Because then it says this, when we surrender to the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, bringing praise to God, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. They're just opposites, aren't they? But the battle isn't with those individual things. And when we lack joy and peace and love, we're involved with sexual sin or sins of anger. The battle is fought whether we're going to surrender now to the Spirit or our flesh, our sinful nature. So let me give you some hope, and then we'll sing about the victory that we can have in Jesus Christ. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That's my desire. I'd suggest to you it's your desire, or you wouldn't be here. The Spirit is working. He is alive. He is powerful. And it's when we surrender to him and we nail those desires to the cross. Just like Christ was nailed there, he took the power of that sin away. We don't have to live any longer under the bondage of sin. And I'm telling you, we have experienced, all of us to an extent, some more than others, but it is bondage. It destroys everything good. Or we can surrender to the Spirit, yield to his leading, and let him produce love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness. These wonderful things for us and for those around us. Go ahead and stand up as we sing. Lord, as we sing that, we praise you and thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We're amazed, we're overwhelmed, and we think of the power. So God, I just ask that that song would be our prayer. Lord, that we'd follow your Spirit, yield to you and the things that you have for us, knowing that you have the power to do that. Despite our weaknesses, our failings, our fallings, that you have the power to give life, to give freedom, to give hope and a purpose and joy and love. We ask that in your precious Son's name. Amen. Be safe. And I was going to do who. Okay, not bad. We'll work on that.